The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it.
Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
Oh, yes. My name is Chris Lambert.
My name is Travis Bean, and ooh, I am rearing ready to go. Not just because there's someone else in the White House now, but also because we're talking about our future president's third album, Graduation.
That's right, which is, I don't know, pretty refreshing. Like, the first time we did our run through Kanye's discography, at the end of College Dropout, we started going every first track, every second track, every third track through the rest of the discography, right? So first track of Late Registration, first track of Graduation, first track
which
of
808s. Which was a great plan.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice for the variety, right? Yeah. In terms of like, oh, now we get to talk about this album and, you know, compare it to this album just a little faster. And going back through the second time and doing each album, it does feel really exciting to be starting a new album.
Yeah, because, I mean, as much as we sit around and think about and talk about and write about Kanye West, like, our perspective, like, we only have so much perspective. Like, you and I, like, analyze narratives for a living. Like, we've studied movies forever. Like, we're looking at his albums that way. But as we kind of expand and talk to more Kanye fans and learn more about him, like, these albums always open themselves up more and more and more. Like, we just covered Late Registration again, and I understand that album in a way I thought I never would. Like, that album is completely different to me now and so much more complex than I ever thought. And here we go. We're heading into Graduation. Like, I think I know it front to back, and I know I'm going to learn a ton along the way now.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that same thing, especially after yesterday when we recorded the wrap-up of Late Registration, right? And we're looking back over the album and what our highlights of the album and what we took away, and thinking about Graduation. And I've been having that sense of, like, I don't know if there's anything that's going to surprise me, while also having that underlying sense of, like, you fool.
Yeah.
But I, looking back on the first time through Graduation, the big thing that I think, to me, the biggest thing that we kind of realized was that the sample that Kanye uses on Homecoming, or the interpolation that Kanye has on Homecoming at the very end, that is the twist on Common's I Used to Love Her, where in that song, Common talks about this girl that he grew up with and the relationship that they had, like the friendship, and then high school, how she kind of starts to change, and then she goes off after high school and changes even more and eventually ends up in Los Angeles, and she's less innocent of a person and becomes a little bit more worn and torn, I guess. And then Common at the end reveals that this girl he's been talking about is hip-hop, and it's just kind of going over, you understand his relationship with hip-hop, but also the history of hip-hop as it's become this more commercial entity and what that's done to the genre, or like putting that at least in Common's perspective, what's happened to the genre or art form. So we had always known that that was happening on Homecoming, that Kanye was interpolating that. But our big breakthrough was that Graduation as a whole was right. using that same structure, except Kanye is hip hop in this case. He's the her, and it's Chicago that's watching him grow up, go out into the world, and change. And it's really bittersweet.
Right.
Understanding that story and that narrative, I don't know what more. Like, I think that's a pretty huge defining breakthrough. So I'm just like, I don't know if we're going to discover anything that's bigger than that. But I do know it took us a while to start to put together that there was something like that going on.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time through, I don't think it was till I Wonder that we started to really figure out what the narrative was or a little bit more insight into the narrative and the relationship with Chicago. So it will be nice to go over Good Morning, Champion, Stronger
right.
with everything we know about the album.
Yeah, I think that's really where the key difference is going to be is even though like everything you said, like, yes, that makes sense. And I understand the album structure. I do mostly still think of Graduation broadly like that. Like, I kind of broadly understand what Graduation is doing. Like, you start with somebody living at home and being a champion and recognizing his role as a leader in the community. And then inevitably celebrity takes you away from home as you go out to the world and become a superstar. And you see him, you know, succumb to like the all the vices that are presented to a celebrity, the girls, the booze, the blah, 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 all that. And then like he talks about how hollow it is. And then, you know, he tries to go back home at the end and he's rejected. Like, okay, yes, that is the general structure of Graduation. But the first time we went through this album, there were so many things we weren't doing, like looking at samples and songs. Like, we were very much a lyrical analysis of Kanye West, like to a T. Like, we were just looking at the lyrics. We weren't really recognizing how Kanye uses samples to comment on the narrative and how that expands what he's saying in the lyrics. And we weren't really looking at his production skills and how like the tone of a song always dictates like where his character is at in the journey. I think this album is going to open itself up so much more like Late Registration did. Like we had no idea when the first time we went through Late Registration, we didn't recognize all the talk about monolithic thought that's going on in the skits. Like, something as simple as that, like, really brought the album to life and added another layer to it. And I'm expecting those same kinds of things to happen this time around for Graduation.
Well, Travis, there's no skits.
I was about to say thank God, but I do love those skits in Late Registration.
Yeah, and Jimmy does crack me up.
Great. Jimmy's great, and Jimmy Jr.
Yeah, poor Jimmy Jr. He had it rough. He had it rough. Yeah, there's the samples I'm really curious about, because I feel like it wasn't... Were we even doing sample stuff by, like, Drunken Hot Girls?
It took us a while. Like, I think we would always, like... We'd be aware of the samples, but we weren't incorporating them into our analysis very well.
Yeah, that took a little bit. Like, part of me wonders if it wasn't until 2018 that we started doing that.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like
a little bit more thoroughly. Huh. And then a big component, if you've followed the show for a while, you know that we have a general theory that each Kanye album is representative of that period in his life between albums leading up to it. So in College Dropout, Kanye was just getting into the music industry as a producer and trying to sign his record deal. And that's exactly what the album deals with. Late Registration, Kanye had the success of the College Dropout and was dealing with this newfound fame. And that's exactly what Late Registration looks at, is just Kanye in this post-college dropout period for the year and a half leading up to Late Registration. It was 2 years between Late Registration and Graduation, which Graduation came out, what was it, September?
2007?
Yeah. I was trying to think of the exact...
It wasn't
September 11th.
I think it was.
September 11th, 2007. Yeah. So you had that, which, you know, Late Registration had been August of 2005. So for 2 years, Kanye had really been basking in the post late registration success. And he had had some huge songs, like despite how popular All Falls Down and Slow Jams and Jesus Walks were, like Gold Digger and Touch the Sky were kind of on another level when it came to how people were listening to Kanye, responding to Kanye, and not to mention Stronger had dropped earlier in 2007, right? And was already kind of a huge hit.
I feel like so Stronger was like an international hit. Like that seemed even bigger somehow.
Yeah, it was a huge deal, right? Like especially with the Daft Punk appeal to it and how big Daft Punk was internationally.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, so the release date for Stronger was July 31st, 2007. And we know that Kanye works on like albums and stuff. Maybe Graduation, the making of it was a little different in terms of how far along in the process he was by the time Stronger released, but you just can feel the energy that Kanye had. And he had been going on tour with, who are those Irish fellas?
You two?
Yeah, you two. And really took a lot of inspiration from U2.
Yeah.
And their stadium sound and how people responded in those stadium tours. And Kanye started having this vision of, okay, it's not just hip hop, it's rock and roll. And merging that sense of lifestyle and that sense of grandiosity that's not just in the flexing of what you have, but just in the entirety of your being and behavior and rock star living. It's just all of that seems to have translated to Graduation. And with Kanye being definitely in that space, the album explores that sense of grandiosity and superstardom that he was enjoying. But typical of Kanye, there's a self-reflection there. It's not just like, look at what I am enjoying now. It's look at what I am enjoying and what the cost of it is.
Yes.
And I think if there's a universal aspect or kind of a thesis to Kanye's discography, it's the cost of success.
Totally.
And every album kind of is constantly looking at the cost of each thing. I mean, even looking at like something like Jesus is King, where you have him turning to religion and what is the cost of that when you think of Hands On, or you think about Pusha T and No Malice and kind of talking about their emotions on Use This Gospel and what those behaviors and lifestyles have cost them in the past. So Kanye really does focus on two sides of the coin in all of these situations.
Yeah. And one big reason I'm really excited to talk about Graduation in this format is because, like you said before, we used to go like hop from album to album to album. Like this time through, we're just sticking to Graduation and we're going to get a full scope of it like all at once. And I think we're really going to feel that cost of success that you're talking about, because College Dropout and Late Registration, like, they have arcs, they have ups and downs, but both of those albums end with Kanye like in a better place. Like, even though Gone is Kanye saying like goodbye to celebrity, like at least Kanye is the one throwing up the middle finger. Like, he's ending it on his own way, you know? Graduation ends a little bit like tragically. Like, he ultimately loses his connection with his home and he loses his big brother. And if you think about every album after this, 808s, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Yeezus, even The Life of Pablo, he released Saint Pablo months after The Life of Pablo as a reflection on the album, and that's a sad song. Even something like Violent Crimes is him kind of thinking about the future and like what his actions, like the kind of environment that would create for his daughter. Maybe not until Jesus is King did we actually get like a more hopeful ending. Graduation is really the start of that trend, and how we see his albums like kind of always end on a downer note. And yeah, I mean, you're totally right. Like, this is Kanye's being so aware of that and commenting on that. And because of that, his albums become these cautionary tales, which is saying something. We consider what his first two albums were. Like, his first two albums were meant to, I think, be a beacon of hope for a lot of people, especially the people in the Black community. You know, thinking about Late Registration and how it starts, I've heard him say, and how, and then, which is a song about people who are oppressed and want to rise out of that oppressed state. And then the rest of the album is kind of showing like what can happen when you rise to superstardom and like the responsibility you have in leading those people. To think about where he went from there, like that energy to this, which is like, there's no joy to be found in celebrity. Like, it'll tear you and rip you apart. It'll remove you from your home. You'll lose your big brother if you're not careful. And it's so strange to think like that's where he goes with this album, which I think is a big reason why people don't love Graduation as much as they love the first two albums, and why a lot of people look at us when we're like, we're crazy when we do say Graduation is better. But that tragedy that's on Graduation that becomes a part of like the way Kanye tells his story is like, that's the power to me.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, I mean, we throw the word around all the time, but intercontextuality, right? The relationship between things that, you know, you can listen to Last Call as a song in and of itself, right? Mm-hmm. But when you put it into context with the rest of the College Dropouts, then Last Call is even more powerful, because this is the same guy that was on Jesus Walks hoping for his big opportunity, right? Like, this is the same guy from Spaceship waiting for his big opportunity. So Last Call suddenly becomes like in a movie, right? You don't just take the final scene without the context of the rest of the movie.
Right.
Otherwise, you wouldn't care what was going on. It's more powerful because of where the character started and where they've gotten to. And when you look at the intercontextuality between the albums, I think it's something that if you're just looking at Graduation and comparing it on its own to what's going on in Late Registration or College Dropout, it might seem less than, mm-hmm. because it is a little bit more, I think, not straightforward, but there's less social tension, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to like Late Registration, right? You don't have that same commentary on Heard 'Em Say or Crack Music. You don't have the same commentary of All Falls Down. So I can see people thinking that those albums are more socially aware. But when you put Graduation into the context of the other two albums, that it's not just its own thing, but a continuation,
right,
of those. And that this is still the same guy from Spaceship. This is still... the right. same guy from Jesus Walks. This is still the same guy from Addiction and Hey Mama. It suddenly becomes that tragedy that you're talking about, where it's even more poignant because this was the guy that was doing all the social stuff. So the fact that this album almost completely lacks any of that is, I think, representative of the change in perspective and the downfall that the Kanye West character, right, on this album, or the fictional version of himself that we followed on each album, has lost and is losing, which makes this really heartbreaking.
The best part of all this is that you don't need to view Kanye's discography like we do, you know, that you don't need to recognize the intercontextuality to appreciate Graduation. Like, it's not like you need to sit down and listen to College Dropout, then listen to Late Registration, then listen to Graduation, then you'll get it. This is the best part of Kanye as a storyteller. And Chris and I talk about this all the time on our film website. Kanye provides inroads. He really clues you in on like that loss of innocence, how he is getting away from that part of himself, because he incorporates the city of Chicago into the entire album of Graduation. And this is Kanye's real first instance of having a female character on an album that represents something more than just a woman or a relationship. Like, she represents Kanye's very being, Kanye's disconnect from himself. And I Wonder is kind of the tipping point of that. So you have Good Morning, Champion, Stronger. That's Kanye kind of existing in his element. He's a superstar in a moment where he's very much connected with Chicago. And then I Wonder is the breakup. And the rest of the album, there are these little glimpses of this woman that he used to know, this relationship that he used to have. And you can really start to see and feel and hear how, like, he's lost that, how he is changing, how he's not the kid that grew up in Chicago anymore. And Kanye is actively realizing that. I mean, he's the guy who wrote the album and is making the music. Like, he recognizes that he's creating that experience, and he's being so vulnerable and honest about that ugly part about himself. And I mean, the most tragic part is, like, he can't help it. He really is sucked in by celebrity. Like, he really is changing in real time, and, like, we're witnessing it. It's crazy.
Yeah, and the fact that it's, like, going back, looking at the fact that Kanye made an album about the estrangement he had with Chicago due to his rap career and due to the success that he was having, it's one of those things that in 2007, it feels poignant and prescient, but maybe not as much as it could be. Because it's like, oh, you know, he's still just 5 years removed from being like that kid from Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's 2007. Like, his first album came out in 2004. It's still fresh and new. It's still easy for him to go back to Chicago. You know, he's not a husband with a house somewhere else, a father with a family somewhere else. He's not running like a successful shoe line, like fashion line, mm-hmm. at that point. So you could almost, at the time when this came out, view it as maybe a little hyperbolic in terms of like not being able to go home again and just the state of the relationship. But now we're 13 years, almost 14 years later, and Kanye's relationship with Chicago has never been the same. I mean, he continues to shout out the city. He's continued to represent the city lyrically. But the times that we've seen him back in Chicago have been few and far between. And even in 2018, when it seemed like he was making a push to return to Chicago and said that he was never leaving and yada yada,
he left.
Yeah.
I live here and I never see him.
Yeah. He went back for Sunday service.
I was there for that. And
did a couple shows, but he did it by the house there. He did it with his family there. Like, he spends more time in Wyoming and Atlanta than Chicago. And even then, it does feel like at this point, he's kind of diving into his Atlanta roots and taking pride in the fact that he's born in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, so, right.
A little sad there too, in hindsight, just to see that how prophetic this album ended up being.
Yeah, and I will say though that the only thing I'm apprehensive about is that this is, to me, what kind of happened on College Dropout, is that once we recognized there was a narrative, like, oh man, like, this album's so much deeper than we thought it was. But when you compare the narrative on that album to, like, Jesus, it feels a little elementary and kind of straightforward. I'm a little scared that that's going to happen with Graduation, that, like, the structure is, not that the structure is all there really is, but that, like, it doesn't have, like, nearly the same depth as Jesus does, which maybe it doesn't, and that's fine. But I guess that's the only thing I'm kind of scared of, is that, like, everything we've talked about in this episode, like, that's kind of it. Like, you get it.
Yeah, where, I mean, already thinking about Jesus, there's so many extra little things
we couldn't possibly cover it in an overview episode.
Yeah, and just how he's bringing in historical references on Yeezus is one of the most amazing things to me that Kanye's ever done. I will say, kind of the level up for this album, I think, was using the structure of I Used to Love Her, because College Dropout, Late Registration, he's not, as far as I'm aware, not borrowing structure or riffing on a narrative already, where I feel like with Graduation, this is the first time we see him do that. Mm-hmm. And then with My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, we see him use the Wizard of Oz structure for that album, or the Wicked references for that album. And then for Yeezus, I still feel like you can, I mean, at the very least, the heroic journey or the hero's journey structure. But you can also make the Great Gatsby theory as well come to life. And then The Life of Pablo, you have him basing it on Paul the Apostle. I almost called him Phil the Apostle, which...
That's Paul's brother.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to it. Paul the Apostle. So it is... This is the first instance I think we see of him using structure or using an inspiration or a roadmap like that for the structure of an album. And it's something that he would go on to do a lot of in the future.
Yeah.
So I guess sampling, like he started sampling narrative structures, but it is cool to see him do that here and how big that was at the time. But yeah, I think that you're right that as awesome as this is going to be, it's still, you know, 5 years difference, 6 years difference from Yeezus, and 9 years difference from The Life of Pablo, and just how next level he was getting with those albums.
Yeah. I will say, though, I am excited to really delve into the production. Not that we're musical experts. We're not at all. We're more looking at the lyrics, but I have made a more concerted effort to like think about the production and think about the samples and how, and just like the soundscape he's crafting. And again, with this format where we're just going straight through Graduation and like I'm going to be hearing all of this at once and thinking about all these songs together all at once, like I think the soundscape will start to make more sense too. And really, like what you were talking about with U2 and the idea of being a rock star and going on a stadium tour, like I think that element of the sound is really going to expose itself and become part of the listening experience for me. Like I'm really going to feel how big Kanye was, because the bigger you get, the more you have to lose and the further you can fall. And I feel like I'm really going to feel that this time.
One, that's such a sad thing. I was thinking about this earlier today because somebody posted on Twitter a fake commercial Kanye did where you could take a pill and you became Kanye. And that the commercial always cracks me up, but it was such an innocent time for Kanye. Mm-hmm. Like he had had the George Bush Doesn't Care About Black People controversy and was still viewed as kind of an arrogant asshole, mm-hmm. but lovable all the same. Like Kanye was a positive part, I think, for the most part, of pop culture, and people didn't shy away from including him. He was like kind of that rascally younger brother that like people could get exasperated by, but also really liked and enjoyed. And just thinking about, this is one of the last periods or one of the last albums where Kanye was a good guy to the rest of the world.
Right.
And just how strange it was to kind of exist, because I think we were both in some way, we weren't like level four Kanye fans or anything at this point, but we both were aware of him. We had both started listening to some of his music, and it's just strange to think about the world in which like Kanye was
liked,
not so liked and not so controversial, and it wasn't so difficult to be like, and not difficult to be a fan in terms of like Kanye's actions, but difficult to be a Kanye fan because of how people respond to you being a Kanye fan.
Yeah,
like, it was just so easy and how nice that was, but even he knew it wasn't gonna last.
Yeah, and on top of that, like, yes, being liked and being respected, like you got millions of fans all over the world, But I think here's really where we start to experience Connie's relationship with fans, because I don't know how much that's really the case in College Dropout Late Registration. Like, Connie's really commenting on himself, the music industry, like what celebrity does to you. I think here, like, it's inherently part of the album that if it's like this kind of sound and like you're talking about going on a stadium tour and you're internationally famous, like, you really start to get into your relationship with the public and your fans. And maybe that's, he's expressing that a little bit like through Chicago, like losing his connection with Chicago. Like, all I can do is think about Pinocchio story on 808s. Like, we're 1 year away from that album and Kanye feeling completely alone and like nobody understands him. In a Pinocchio story, he's pouring his heart and soul out to people and nobody's listening. I feel like there's an element of that on here. Like, it may not be as explicit as it is on 808s, but I feel like he's going to start sprinkling in that, those ideas.
Yeah, that is a cool point of comparison between things, right? Because it's like the only real idea of fans on College Dropout is kind of like get them high and slow mm-hmm. jams and it just more of this like house party life Kanye right. was having. But you weren't necessarily getting the fact that like Kanye had fans. It was mostly him just trying to like get people to listen to his music and to like him. And then Late Registration, it's just really roses, right?
Yeah,
is the
right.
most that we get the sense of Kanye having a fan base. Maybe the end of Touch the Sky where he's talking to people, but yeah, there's something more, something bigger about that and something more dynamic about it on Graduation, which again makes sense because this is now his third album. He's had more time to kind of become aware of his fan base, to grow a fan base. So the fact that it becomes a larger part of the album is in line with just his career arc to this point.
Yeah.
The line that jumps out to me in terms of like what you were saying mm-hmm. is just like, wait till I get my money right, then you can't tell me nothing, right?
Oh, man.
Like, that feels like such a line in terms of like where Kanye's getting to, and that year remove from 808s and where he's at in the state of his life on that, and the success that he had from Graduation and how major Graduation was. It was his biggest album at that point and still his largest debut.
Whoa,
of an
really?
Album. Yeah, I don't think he had another album that had as many sales.
Damn.
And like first week sales, but just the idea that, you know, you're not going to be able to tell him nothing as soon as he gets his money and where that's led him.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, speaking of can't tell me nothing, what song are you most excited to cover? Because for me, it's Can't Tell Me Nothing. Because that's a song that like Kanye fans love. It made the final four this year on our Best Kanye West Song Tournament Deathmatch Extreme. And it's always been a song like, I mean, I definitely love it. Like, I love any Kanye song. But that's a song like I've never quite connected with like other people do. But the more I think about it and the more I think about its place in the album, like, I really feel like that's the song that's going to open up to me this time through. Like, I feel like it's really going to expose itself and reveal a part of Kanye that, like, I feel like that song will be the kind of the breaking point and represent like what we now think of as new Kanye, like the truly arrogant, can't tell me nothing, like, I'm going to do things my way no matter what Kanye that alienated everybody for several years.
I want to be on that same level. Like, I'm with you on that. Like, I'm hoping Can't Tell Me Nothing is one that the switch flips mm-hmm. because the intro is so great. There's so many like relevant lines to everything that we've talked about. It's one of those songs that can be inspirational or aspirational while at the same time being completely tragic, mm-hmm. which is a great tension. I still don't know if I'm going to be able to get over the slowness of the production.
Sure.
And if that's just going to forever hold me back, or if it's going to be something where, like, this cracks open. But yeah, to what you're saying about this being the most popular or one of the most beloved, you can usually tell kind of the interest level in songs based on how many page views they have on Genius. And Can't Tell Me Nothing is at 1.7 million, where Stronger's at 1.3, and something like Drunken Hot Girls is at 210.
The other song I'm most excited to talk about.
Yeah, like, not ironically, right?
Oh, totally. I don't know if I loved it when we last talked about it, but at this point, to me, that's a top three graduation song, and it's the most hated Kanye song, I would say. I don't know if this is like the Showgirls effect and I just want to love it because everyone hates it, but I do love it and I think it has depth and it's very important to this album and I can't wait to convert everybody.
I do think, like, getting away from Can't Tell Me Nothing, Champion is one I'm really excited to talk about because I don't think I loved it then, kind of like you with Drunken Hot Girls, mm-hmm. as much as I love it now. It really clicked for me maybe around when we first talked about it or after, but because our analysis still wasn't as full as it is now, I feel like there's a lot there that we haven't maybe dug into. That's a song that I already, like, love, that I'm gonna discover all new things about. And I'm most curious, though, to get back into I Wonder, because I Wonder was the pivot point for us on this album and putting together that there was a narrative here. I still remember in prep when we started, like, figuring it out and we were just like, oh my goodness, is it really doing this? And going back through, like, Stronger, Champion, and just, like, piecing it all together and freaking out. But coming back to it after 3 years, 4 years since the last time we were there. No, we would have gotten to it in 2016. Jeez. It's going to be just interesting to have more of the understanding that we have, to dive into the lines and see what we come up with this time.
I completely agree. I think I Wonder is going to be... I already love I Wonder, and a lot of my love for it is that day when we discovered the depth and meaning behind it, because Kanye had been doing narratives up to graduation, but he had not had a song like this, like this kind of turning point, like this kind of signal. It's almost like the outro of New Slaves and how it leads into that middle part of Yeezus. Like, to me, it's kind of like on that level, the first signs of that. But back then, we also weren't talking about samples. And just from, like, broad looks at the song and, like, in looking at what the samples are, like, I think the samples on that song are really going to reveal a lot more depth. And shit, I'm already walking back what I said earlier, that graduation's going to be disappointing and straightforward. It's not. Like, I fully expect my mind to be blown several times.
Is there any song you're not looking forward to talking about?
I will say, as much as I love the structure of Graduation and I love that it ends tragically, Homecoming and Big Brother are still two songs I've never, like, loved. Like, especially Big Brother, because to me that's a little bit more of a traditional... not a traditional rap song, but almost just more traditional storytelling. Like, it really is like a bunch of events told chronologically. Like, there's something about that doesn't really excite me, but I'm hoping that I'm wrong and that there's beauty to be found in it that I didn't see before.
Yeah, that's Big Brother's definitely, I mean, and that's the most recent one that we did. Like, I'm pretty sure we did Big Brother in like 2018 or 2019.
Right.
And I remember not coming away with anything, like, big, right? There wasn't some moment where I was just like, oh, what a, like, breakthrough. It's just like, okay, this is what we thought it would be.
Right.
And Homecoming, I mean, the biggest thing is just the interpolation, but the interpolation is something that we're going to be talking about for the entire season. So,
Right.
I can feel that.
I think also just on some level, I don't love those songs just musically, sonically, like they're not my favorite kinds of Kanye songs. So we'll see. Although the only thing I could think about with Big Brother that I might appreciate more is the fact that we just went through late registration and we talked about Rockefeller and like Kanye's, I think I understand Kanye's relationship with Jay a lot more, thinking of like Never Let Me Down. And is Archer agreeing with me or disagreeing with me?
There's some yard people. There's a lawnmower going, so he is defending his territory.
I understand. And I assume defending my moment here to speak about Big Brother.
Yes.
Just thinking about those two songs and thinking about like what Jay really meant to Kanye at those stages of his life when he was trying to rise up and become a leader. And then to think about where he's gone to here, like maybe the tragedy will really reveal itself a lot more, and and the lyrics will become a lot more tragic. At least that's what I'm hoping for. Not that I like to see tragedy in Kanye's life, but I'd like the album to open itself up a bit more. So, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the setup. Is there anything else we want to go over?
I think Archer has some thoughts.
This is the most airtime he's ever gotten on our show.
I know. He's usually such a good boy. Nah, that's it. We'll be back with Good Morning, and it'll be an adventure.
Yeah, and we will record that episode in the morning as soon as we wake up. That's how we're going to do it.
Yeah, that seems right.
Going to roll out of bed, and there's going to be a microphone sitting in front of you, and we're just going to go.
Well, hello, Travis. Good morning.
And I'll say good afternoon.
Perfect.
Okay, well, this is good. I'm excited about this. Are you excited?
Yes.
I was talking to Archer.
Oh, Archer, what do you think?
Whoa, give me the cold shoulder. Okay.
Yeah, he's like, oh, there he is.
Oh, is the episode ending? Oh, I'll stop barking then.
All right, then. Well, everybody, thanks for listening, and until next time.
Are you saying it? You're saying it. And keep it looping.
And I am. And they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.